Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
So good to see you, and I pray that this will be the best year ever. And I wish for that for myself as well. I don't know when, but sometime God will release me from over 40 years of ministry. I mean, into different kind, I guess. But we don't know what this year will be like, but we have the great expectation of what God will do for us throughout this year. And we begin this new year with that great expectation. I pray that as we worship together, we will be touched by the presence of God through His Holy Spirit among us, and reassuring us that everything will be taken care of. A young military officer was assigned to Washington, D.C., the capital of politics, a place very different from any of his previous posts. Not long after arriving, he was invited to a New Year's party at a fancy hotel. He arrived in full dress uniform, colorful badges of honor gleaming, perfectly suited to that occasion. Spotting a lovely young lady, he marched over gallantly, introduced himself, and struck up a conversation. They enjoyed each other's company over a few drinks and eventually stepped outside onto the hotel's elegant patio for some fresh air. The night was warm, moonlight shimmered through the trees, and the officer's confidence was well stirred. Feeling bold, he leaned in and asked if she'd care to go out on a date. She snapped back immediately, "No, absolutely not." Hearing a completely unexpected answer, the officer promptly fainted. Startled, the woman shook him until he came to. "My saying no may be disappointing," she said, "but why on earth did you faint?" "It wasn't your rejection," the officer replied weakly. "I've been stationed in Washington for 3 months, and this is the first time anyone's given me a definite answer." In the military, those in the chain of command are expected to give clear directions. If they do not, the military loses its key function of responding promptly to address situations. God works in the lives of believers in the same way, even though many have a misconceived view of God's work as ambiguous. They think it is hard to discern God's will. However, the way God guided the Magi through the star shows that God's guidance was so apparent that they could not miss it. We will look at the clear guidance God provides for today's believers and the importance of following Him this morning. Let me begin by explaining a bit about Epiphany. Epiphany means to reveal. Traditionally, it is celebrated on the 12th day after Christmas, believed to mark the time between the Messiah's birth and the Magi's arrival in Bethlehem. It usually falls on January 6th, count 12 days after Christmas, it's January 6th. Many churches celebrate Epiphany on the first Sunday of January, which we do. Some other churches, like the Eastern Orthodox Church, however, celebrate Christmas on January 7th. If you go to Jerusalem at this time of the year, you will see that people still celebrating Christmas. Why is it January 7th? That's a 13 days difference between the Christmas, right? Which is December 25th. And then Epiphany there in Jerusalem and in Eastern Orthodox Church, they celebrated on January 19th, again, 13 days after January 6th, which is traditional Epiphany. It is because they still use the ancient Julian calendar established by Julius Caesar. Why does the Julian calendar run late? It calculates a year slightly longer than the actual solar year, a full cycle of the Earth's revolution around the sun. Julian calendar gains about 11 minutes a year. So it's like about 128 days later, it gains a day. To correct this error and drifting of the date of Easter, because you know they have a hard time calculating Easter, Pope Gregory the 13th introduced a new calendar in 1582, and people call it the Gregorian calendar. The Eastern Orthodox Church also calls the Epiphany, that's January 19th, Theopany. You know, Theo means God, Pani means to reveal or to manifest, meaning God's appearance or manifestation to humans. They place greater emphasis on God's manifestation in Jesus' baptism. Have you noticed that when we sang the We Three Kings, there is a Epiphany prayer, and on top of it, the prayer for the baptism, you know, commemorating Jesus' baptism. They place great emphasis on God's manifestation in Jesus' baptism. To them, Epiphany is the day of the Lord's baptism when Jesus publicly appeared and began his ministry. So celebrating Epiphany and the meaning of it may be slightly different. At any rate, I love the fact that Epiphany is celebrated at the beginning of the year and offers an important message of God's guidance we all need to hear as we set up on the New Year's journey. The year 2026 will take us into unexplored territory, not the same path as we have walked on as in the past. We do not know what will happen to us or to the world, and we will surely need God's guidance. So let's look at how God guides and intervenes in our lives. The Gospels are very clear about God's intervention in the events and individuals surrounding the birth of the Messiah. God sent the angel Gabriel to Zechariah and told him about the birth of his son, John, who later became the baptizer of Jesus. Then God sent Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. God sent an angel to the shepherds to break the news of the Messiah's birth. An angel of the Lord appeared in Joseph's dream and told him not to be afraid of marrying Mary after the Holy Spirit conceived her. An angel also warned Joseph in a dream to flee to Egypt. God used a star to guide the Magi to the birthplace of the King of Israel. To be more specific about this, the distance from Persia to Bethlehem was more than 1,200 miles, requiring them to spend weeks or months, and they had no idea of the actual location they were headed to. God knew they needed a reliable navigation tool to guide them to a destination 1,000 miles away. And the star was perfectly suited for that purpose. When God guides believers, he uses something very visible and obvious, like a bright star in the sky. After Christmas, God warned the Magi in a dream not to return to Herod, so they took a different route home. Why did God not show them the same star for their return trip? Herod already heard about the star from the Magi, and the reappearance of the star could have caused harm to the Messiah and the Magi. We can see here a glimpse of how God customizes his guidance to suit individuals' need in different circumstances. These divine interventions during the first Christmas testify that God uses many methods to guide those who belong to him. God's guidance is very comprehensive. He uses signs such as stars, angels, dreams, the Holy Spirit, prophecy, and the Bible as happened during the first Christmas. The Bible is the primary source of guidance. God also uses incomprehensible peace amid crises, circumstances, the word of knowledge given to other believers, spiritual senses, hymns, which happen to me quite often, worship, preaching, and you name it. Signs from God can be found everywhere when we look for them. God's guidance for believers is guaranteed. Is guaranteed. For each and every one of you is guaranteed. The question is whether believers always follow God's guidance. Did the Magi follow God's guidance? Yes, but only partially. Jerusalem and Bethlehem are only about five miles apart. You can even walk to Jerusalem from Bethlehem. They followed the star all along, but as they came close to Jerusalem, they confidently believed that the new king of Israel was born in the palace in Jerusalem. They no longer rely on heavenly guidance, but on their intuition. And they had a reason for it. They were very intelligent and highly educated, so much so that they sat on the king's council in Persia, as Daniel did. Daniel in Babylon and later Persia was chosen for his aptitude for learning and intelligence. He underwent rigorous academic training in math, science, language, law, astronomy, and astrology to serve kings. The same educational system is believed to have existed during the time of Magi in Persia. They were extremely smart individuals and presumably had a great deal of confidence in their decision-making. Yet relying on their intelligence was a huge mistake that led to the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding villages under the age of two. Bible is so clear that failure to follow God's guidance can lead to disaster. We have the same tendency as the Magi. We follow God's guidance, but at some point, our confidence in our knowledge and judgments take over. God always guide his people in such a way that they can sense it clearly, like a star shining brightly at night. However, when believers rely more on their wisdom, are not spiritually open to sensing divine intervention, God's guidance does not take effect. Doesn't matter, God uses all kinds of methods to guide us. But if we close our eyes voluntarily and not seeing it, and rely more on our intuition and our wisdom, our experience and knowledge and everything, the result can be the same. God's guidance does not take effect. We suffer painful consequences sometimes. In January 1997, according to Moira Hudson in New York Times, Sam Sebastiani Jr., a member of one of California's most prominent winemaking families, died from eating poisonous mushroom that he had gathered near his home in Santa Rosa, California. The mushroom Mr. Sebastiani is thought to have eaten, writes Hudson, was an Amanita phalloides, also known as the death cap mushroom. It is the cause of 95% of lethal mushroom poisoning worldwide and is fatal more than 35% of the time. Toxins in its cap destroy the victim's liver by rupturing the cells. Experts are warning inexperienced mushroom enthusiasts to leave the picking to trained mycologists who will not be fooled by poisonous varieties that closely resemble their non-poisonous cousins. Roseanne Soloway, a poison control center administrator, says a level of presumed expertise is not enough to save your life. One of the most sinister aspects of deadly mushroom poisoning, writes Hudson, is the delay between the ingestion and onset of symptoms. The stronger the poison, the longer it takes to show itself. And by the time a patient is aware of the problem, it may be too late. I mean, this is a very interesting but important lesson. You know, the stronger confidence we have in ourselves, in our decision making, the longer it takes to realize that we made a mistake. And then the time that we realize our mistake is a little too late. The price of one mistake by relying one's expertise can be far too high. When we make an important decision, much is at stake, and the full consequences of our actions may not be seen until it is too late. We only live once, and you know, if you have noticed it, even in Northern California, there is a county named Yolo County. You only live once. Right? And life is too short to be wasted. Learning by trial and error can consume a significant part of our lifespan. Therefore, it is foolish not to follow the guidance of God, life's best expert, and to waste life when His guidance is always available. We just celebrated Christmas and are reminded of God's presence in our lives. God is with us and deeply involved in our lives. Epiphany, God's manifestation in the life of believers, is not a one-time event. Christ shows up over and over throughout our lives. God shows signs and wonders again and again, leading us to the promised land beyond the river. But those who are not spiritually awakened and fail to follow divine guidance suffer needlessly and end up in a place neither God nor we want to be. William Buckley, a renowned theologian, says the best way to prepare for the coming of Christ is never to forget the presence of Christ. No question that Christ is in our lives. And He guides us without fail. Let us be entirely entirely be open to His guidance and always, always follow His lead. Amen.